every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Carey, and we are now in the month of August, the last 2 weeks, or 2 months of the baseball season. A lot of trade deadlines are in effect, and on a sad note, I lost a very good friend and teammate this last week, Ryan Sandberg, Hall of Fame player, Hall of Fame person. Lost him to cancer. He's been battling with it for a couple of years now. Tremendous loss, not only for the friends and family, but for baseball. Baseball was very fortunate to have a person of the caliber of Ryan Sandberg. And I just wanted to add that in. I've also posted on Instagram and Facebook, so if you'd like to take a look there. And a longer view of it, of what I had to say, please do.
Yeah, if you check it out on Facebook, too, I included in the comments also a link to the episode that we did, the interview with Ryan Sandberg, which is a great interview as well.
Yes, it was. And another sad note, actually, for baseball. It seems like the Cleveland Indians have come across another player that's having a bout with gambling, and it's their star closer in Emmanuel Clase. He has now been placed on leave amid a bit of sports betting investigation, and he joins another teammate, Luis Ortiz, who was placed under investigation earlier this month. So, yeah. Not a good sign for baseball. I mentioned this at earlier times in our broadcast podcast that I'm not in favor of this gambling thing. So,
and you I don't reap know what you sow. I mean, if you open it up, I mean, it's only human nature that these people, even though they make millions of dollars, they're going to try to make more. And, you know, producer Corey explained the whole thing to me. It's all based off prop bets when it comes to first pitch ball, first pitch strikes.
Yeah. And that certainly isn't good. I had a run in with that when I was playing in winter ball in Puerto Rico. I played in the capital of San Juan, and we had San Juan and Santurce. Santurce had the first base dugout. San Juan had the third base dugout. And when we would play together at home, there was a partition, and it was a chain link fence. And from top to the bottom, you could see people exchanging money every single pitch during the game. So yeah, it happened a long time ago. And now that it's legalized, who knows where it's going to go?
Do it on your phone rather than from the stands.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, we've got a lot to talk about. We've got a terrific guest coming on, Ted Sobel, and we'll be right back with We'll See About That when we return. Stay with us. Hey there, sports fans. Ron Say. Are you ready to score big with fresh, healthy eats? Well, our friends at Melissa's Produce have got you covered. Whether you're gearing up for the big game or just living that active lifestyle, Melissa's fresh produce delivers the winning nutrition you need. And here's the MVP move. Visit melissas.com today and use the promo code RONSAY to save 15% on your first order. Don't miss out on the home run deal. Fuel your passion for sports and good eats with Melissa's Produce. That's melissas.com, promo code RONSAY.
Hi, everyone. Gina Belich here with the Legal Help Center. And we have a special guest with us today, Super Bowl champ Vernon Davis. So, Vernon, tell all of our radio listeners who should call right now.
Well, Gina, first off, thank you for having me join you here in the studio. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now and find out how much money you could potentially get.
Thanks, Vernon.
You heard it, folks. If you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now and find out how much money you could potentially get. Call 800-745-9090. That's 800-745-9090. 800-745-9090. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
And now for Harmony Cheese, here are Vince Ferragamo and Jackie Slater.
Indulge in the exquisite flavors of Harmony Cheese, crafted with passion and precision in Athens, Wisconsin.
Our signature Golden Age cheeses are a symphony of taste, from the tangy sweetness of cranberry and orange Abergele to the rich, buttery smoothness of our aged Gloucester.
Elevate your charcuterie board with our show-stopping Merlot cheddar, or savor the unique combination of flavors in our Portobello and Chive Abergele.
Harmony Cheese, rooted in Wisconsin tradition, crafted for discerning palates. Visit our cheese shop in Athens or shop online at harmonycheese.com.
Don't forget to visit our cheese shop in Athens or shop online at harmonycheese.com.
That's harmonycheese.com.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free gift. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
They still call me the Penguin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to We'll See About That with our special guest, Ted Sobel. And Ted will be receiving a beautiful fruit gift basket, courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is a proud sponsor of We'll See About That, and please use my VIP code RONCE when checking out at melissas.com. And, as you can see, for those of you who are seeing us on Roku, I've got my Rugrats with us today, and I've got Sophia and Julian, who've got nothing better else to do today except come over here and pester us. So we're going to join with Ted Sobel right now, kiddos, okay? And Ted, we go back, to give you a brief introduction to our listeners, and we'll go back about 50 years, I guess, and yep. And you're a Fairfax High School graduate. You went to L.A. City College, and you've had a long, illustrious career in broadcasting. And, you have been around the block with just about everything, which I think is a lot of major kudos. I mean, you've done just about every sport. You've done the Lakers, the Dodgers, the hockey, college as well. You've done Wimbledon, tennis, college football. You've been in all the major games, the Super Bowl, the World Series. What an amazing, amazing career you've had. Where did all this get started?
Well, Ron, it's great to talk to you again, sir, and all the best to your family, because Fran's one of my favorite people on the planet, your wife. It got started because I couldn't be Ron Say and I couldn't be a pro player. So when I was in high school, I met an old disc jockey on KRLA growing up. It was one of our top rock stations, and his name was Dave Hull, the Hullabalooer. And he became a mentor. And I thought, you know what? If I can't be a pro athlete, why not somehow be involved in sports? Maybe I can announce them or at least be involved that way. So Dave had me around the studio. He was one of the first guys to ever do Dodger talk when the Dodgers were on KFI, that was in the late 60s. So Dave kept me around the studio and showed me the ropes, and I was just totally hooked. I loved his approach to being a DJ, and then the way he did everything, I said, I got to do this. And I went to LACC, did a little radio and TV, but it was mostly me and my buddy Paul Olden, who who's now the Yankees public address announcer. We would go to games all the time. with a tape recorder and just practice night after night. Dodgers, Rams, Lakers, whatever, Kings, and just practice until we said, you know what, I think we're good enough to do this, and eventually we were.
Well, you know, in this little bio that you have, you got some pretty good advice early from a legendary basketball player by the name of Elgin Baylor.
Yes. Well, Elgin, I have a whole chapter in my book, Touching Greatness, which is available on Amazon. And Elgin was somebody who I grew up with, saw him play at the Sports Arena here in L.A. With Jerry West, and just thought he was the greatest ever. And he really was. He did amazing things. For those who think he was only a general manager for the Clippers, he's one of the great players in the history of the game. And Chickering used to call him the greatest pound-for-pound player he ever saw through into the 90s. And that includes Michael Jordan, by the way. So when Elgin was at his peak and not injured. But I found a way to get up to his house. I found out when I was playing C&B basketball at Fairfax that somebody said, you moved into the neighborhood where Elgin lives. And I couldn't believe it. So my whole goal in life, Ron, was to find his house. And I eventually did. Knocked on the door, and his first wife, Ruby, answered the door and said, it'd be a pleasure to have you meet him, but he's taking a nap. And he was still playing at this time. This is like 1969. So he had a couple of years left in his career. And before you know it, the next day he invited me in. We talked for 15 minutes. Ended up, he took me to games. And he basically said to me one time, I remember him looking in the mirror, in the rearview mirror, as we're driving to the Forum to whatever game. And he said, so what do you want to do with your life? And I said, well, I'd love to be a basketball player. And him and his wife were laughing so hard, I thought we were going to get into an accident at my 5'7", 150 pounds. And he eventually said, what do you really want to do? And I said, you know what? Probably be an announcer. I think you talked me into it, Elgin, and the rest is history.
You know, I started being an Elgin Baylor fan way back when I was a teenager growing up in the Northwest. And you know the rest of it. You know, he went to Seattle University. Had a great career there. Saw him score 60 points. We had our games broadcast back, telecast back then.
Yeah.
And so I got to see a lot of the games, and he took them to the national championship game against the University of Kentucky, and they lost. But he really established himself as a true All-American and had a bright future ahead of him, and just so happens to be the Los Angeles Lakers.
What was his game like, fellas? You know, back, because I've always heard stories that he was one of the very first players to play above the rim before he
got
hurt.
That's exactly the term that everybody uses, and it's true. I mean, Elgin could leave. His nickname coming out of Washington, D.C., where he grew up, was Rabbit, because he could jump like rabbits were jealous of him. Let's put it that way. And at 6'5", 225, he was able to get up there with the biggest centers and just steal rebounds away. So, but his game was basically dribble drives and hanging in the air. Like he'd be, Chick Hearn used to say, he's on the third floor while the other guy fell down to the mezzanine section, and Elgin's still up there waiting to take a wide open shot. So he was just incredible. He wasn't the greatest shooter ever. He was a very, very good shooter, but he took shots in those days. Remember, when he came in, there were a lot of still two-handed shooters in those days. So he did stuff that people couldn't even dream of. And basically, you know, Dr. J said he stole Elgin's game, and that's basically who he was for his entire career. And those type of players just relished what Baylor did.
Well, you know what? You remind me of the two-handed shooters, Dolph Shays. I remember Dolph Shays and Richie Guerin. Wasn't it Richie Guerin who used to shoot two-handed free throws? Both very good shooters. And you mentioned Dr. J. I can definitely see where he took part of Elgin's game, because both of those guys could stay suspended in the air, and it seemed like three guys would be going by him, and he's still up there to put the ball in. Unbelievable talent, and I had
he had to have big hands, of course, and both Elgin and Dr. J did, and they held that ball like it was a ping pong ball in their hand.
Yeah, well, that's that was obviously you know a great piece of advice that Elgin gave you, and it seemed like it worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
You worked so many other different sports and for a long time.
Yep.
Can you give me an idea of who some of the better interviews were, some of the better events, the ones that really stick out? And we've only got about 2 minutes left in the segment, so if you can keep it to okay. one or a little bit, and then we'll retake it back in the second one.
Okay, well, certainly one of my all-time favorite interviews was Elgin, by the way, because he let me – I did my first interview. Could you imagine the first interview of a 50-year career was with the greatest player of his era? He invited me into his office once, sat down. That was the first time I ever did an interview in my life. It was before I did radio. So that's my favorite. But guys like Kobe Bryant, and I'm the guy who asked him, by the way, hey, what's the problem? Why aren't you smiling? And he ended up with the now, which is a popular meme, job's not finished. Job finished? Job. I'm the one who asked him.
Oh, that's a famous clip. Yeah, job not done. Yes, is the job done yet? Job done yet?
Exactly. So every year I hear about that. When the Lakers, you know, are one game to none, and they got a long way to go, so I'll never hear the end of that one. You know, Tiger Woods was always an interesting interview, only because of who he was. As you know, when he was at his peak, not the best interview there was, but you know, guys who were fun and funny were always fantastic. And I got a chance to interview Will Chamberlain once, and it was spectacular. And then at the end, he was so pissed off at me for asking him how he was doing with Bill Russell at the time. I thought he was going to step on me like I was a cockroach, but it ended up okay.
Yeah, well, I knew Welt pretty well, too, so that's another story as well. We're gonna be right back with Ted Sobel with We'll See About That right after we take this quick break. Stay with us, please.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738.
That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save. Okay, we're back with We'll See About That with Ted Sobel. And Ted, let's talk a little bit about your book, Touching Greatness. You know, you've got a lot of people that you've interviewed there, and who are some of the people that you highlighted in the book?
Yeah, well, I did a whole chapter, as I said earlier, on Elgin Baylor, but I broke them down after the first several chapters, which were more chronological, growing up in L.A. in the 60s, and what it was like to be around Laurel Canyon during the great music era. Yeah. When I went to Fairfax, it was just amazing. But then I broke them down into sports in the second half of the book. So in basketball, I talked a lot about the Shaq Kobe era, and Shaquille O'Neal was one of the nice Hall of Fame endorsers of my book. And we had a great time. He was another one of my favorite interviews because he was just like a little kid just having fun. He was a little 7-foot giant kid and a ton of fun to talk to, whatever the circumstances were. And then from a baseball standpoint, I had a whole chapter on Don Drysdale, who was my favorite baseball player growing up by far. I used to joke that I had his number 53 written on my underwear. I mean, it was everywhere. And he was just a very special guy. And, of course, get to know him a little bit when he was announcing for the Dodgers. And as I wrote in my book, and I think Vince Scully pretty much said the same thing, the day that Don Drysdale died from a heart attack in Montreal, the next morning I was on the old KMPC here in L.A., and I had to do the first sports updates talking about my boyhood idol dying the night before. And it's the hardest thing I ever had to do, and I'm sure nothing will ever come close to that. I almost broke down like 3 or 4 times, even individual, like once an hour. The next hour I almost did again. It was very, very difficult. But anyway, Don was great, and so I have a whole chapter on him. And in hockey, Wayne Gretzky, I have a lot about him and his era here as well. And then football, a lot on Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron became he was the Dodgers playoff correspondent, if you can believe it. He was a Dodgers fan when I met him randomly when he was backing up Brett Favre at Green Bay. I read him at a preseason game in San Diego, and we became friendly, and he ended up coming on my show when he was a backup just talking baseball. So a lot of good stuff there, but, you know, a lot of music and entertainment things in the book as well.
Well, that's terrific. Yeah, I may have to change my view a little bit on Aaron Rodgers if he was a Dodger fan.
Yeah, we might have to go back and edit some stuff out of the show that we've done in previous episodes.
You can have your open opinions about Aaron because he deserves most of them.
Oh, yeah, he sure does.
Yeah, he's got some opinions, that's for sure.
You never know which guy's going to show up.
Ted,
I don't think he does either.
Yeah, that's for sure. Ted, 2011, you did the Ted Slam where you covered the NBA Finals, the World Series, the championship. Championship of every major sports league in the country.
Yep.
Which one was your favorite to call? Which one was the most challenging? And if you only had to call one sport, if they're all your books, you got called, you only had to call one event, what would that be?
Wow, that's a whopper.
Yeah,
that's a whopper.
Boy, that is a tough one. I think we need more than 12 minutes for that one.
Yeah.
You know what? First of all, the Sobel Slam was somebody threw that name on me. It was totally random, guys, because no team from L.A. was in any of them except for the MLS Cup, which the L.A. Galaxy won. And that was, I think that was David Beckham's last year, if I remember correctly. But either way, it was fun to be a part of what I loved was the Miami Heat. Well, that was the first year that LeBron James was there. And I just happened to be randomly there because I had a girlfriend down in Miami. And I was visiting her, and I said, you know what? I'll just get – since I was capable of getting a credential, I went to the game. It was game 6 where Dallas beat them with Dirk Nowitzki. And I went in there afterwards, and I asked LeBron, and he was sitting up at this podium along with Dwayne Wade, and I said, I hate this word, guys, because I don't use it often, but respectfully, do you think you guys choked? And by the way, I'm still waiting for the answer on that from LeBron. They got their asses kicked in that game. You know, double-digit favorites in basketball on your home court on an elimination season game, and you get killed? That's not a good thing.
Well, I mean, wasn't it just this last NBA championships where Oklahoma City lost by 40 points one game,
too?
They
did, yeah.
I mean, I don't understand how you can get beat that badly if you're that good.
It is pretty bad.
But, yeah.
But to lose the elimination game Ron, on your home court, when you're a heavy favorites, there's no excuse for that.
Well, we saw a lot of games that were kind of crazy this last NBA season, but yeah, wild. So go ahead. There's a this is a multi-layered question.
Yeah, so what's what was your favorite one to cover? And what, if you could only cover one event, what would it be?
Yeah, well, I think my favorite one was the LeBron one, but any event from a standpoint of just enjoyable. I mean, Wimbledon is incredible. I've been to the Masters several times. That is great, too. You know, there's something about I love tradition. I think one of the problems of the younger generation now, and I don't want to go there, sound like I'm a great-grandfather or something, but I don't think they appreciate tradition anymore, and I think that's going to hurt in the long run. I'll be long gone, so I don't have to worry about it. But there's something about tradition, and that's part of what Ron and I talked about on my podcast. You know, the baseball stuff, the traditional, I mean, it's not even the same game. So I like the traditional stuff, the British Open, Wimbledon, the Masters. Those are my favorite things.
Okay. Well, you know, as far as what you had to say about history and tradition, I think that's kind of going in all directions. You know,
yes.
I think it's more about what's going on today, and they don't want to share that too much. And I see that happening more in baseball. I'm told that it's pretty widespread these days, that it's not just necessarily here or there. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
And it really is, because that's what kind of lured me in way back when I was a kid. It was the history and tradition, knowing the players who came before you, you know, and you had to dig that out. You know, it wasn't available. We didn't have cell phones and computers and everything. I mean, you really had to want it. Yeah, exactly.
That's what drives me crazy about this, is because these players in the leagues and people involved in baseball, I mean, they have every piece of history at their fingertips now. Yeah. They can go online and watch, you know, every World Series going back to 1927, and yet they don't want to continue that kind of tradition, that kind of.
Well, let me give you the smallest example real quick on what bugs me. And people say, oh, it means nothing. But how about just a ticket to a game? Now it's a barcode. Do you know what those tickets meant to me when I was a kid? I kept every one of them. Yeah. And a program. That meant everything. Now they don't even exist anymore.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people, especially your season ticket holders and, you know, those you know, true baseball diehard fans, they want those ticket stubs too. And, you know, that meant a lot, because there's just so much wound into that, the whole upbringing, you know, your childhood, you know, being a fan back then, much different than it is today.
I still have on my fridge right now a ticket, 25 years old, from Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals of the year 2000 that Robert Horry shot. I was at that game.
Oh, that big shot.
I have that ticket still on my fridge.
Well, that's
and
wild.
I still have tickets from the first three World Series at Dodger Stadium. I was at the first game in 1963. Don Drysdale pitched a 1-0 shutout. I was at that game, and I have that ticket. It is framed, and it means a lot to me. If that was a barcode, I think I'd shoot myself.
Yeah, it's you get your tickets through the email, and then you know, you get them scanned when you walk in. So yeah, much Beautiful. Different today.
Ted, I want to ask you, going back to something you talked about, Tiger Woods, and you know, you've interviewed so many, you know, superstars in sports and in entertainment over the years. You know, a lot of these athletes, I mean, Tiger Woods is a good example. I mean, he has been trained since youth to be kind of very vague, very blank. How do you break through to like to somebody to make that kind of connection to get what you want in the can?
Well, fortunately, I was with Tiger from the start. I was actually there his first swing at the Riviera when he was a teenager. They brought him as a sponsor's invite at the time. So I've been there his whole career. And one thing about Tiger is, if he feels comfortable around you, and you know, you could pretty much say that about everybody, Ron, as an athlete, I'm sure you had guys you'd rather talk to than others because you like them more, and it's just being human. So there's something about being around Tiger, being, I think my face was familiar to him, whether he liked the way I looked or not. And there's a comfort level that becomes part of what you're doing professionally, I think. And so I got some pretty good stuff out of him. But yes, he was, I call him computerized for way too long.
Not in personality and in game as well.
Exactly. Yeah, I do agree with you about, you know, dealing with the media. You know, you get comfortable with, a certain group of guys. And fortunately for us, you know, there was a lot of media in the clubhouse back then. You know, there's not so much in today, because you have press conference room And they usually don't allow those things to be conducted in the clubhouse anymore, nor on the field, because it's all roped off and security's tight. But I think there's a trust factor there. You know, I think we could talk off the screen a little bit with them when they did not really understand some things that were going on. And you could say, listen, if you want to learn more about this, we can talk off the record.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of times, you know, you get everybody's been burned, you know. No question about it. You know, and after a while, when you're being interviewed every day, you know, you do come into kind of an understanding with those people. Is there anything in here that we just talked about that you want to rehash, because you don't want it going out the wrong way? And the longer that, that you're with those people, there's a better understanding. But it is, once again, much different today.
Yeah, part of the problem is that, and I've done a little of this, some media, they don't have media training. You know, whether you're coming right out of college or high school, you're very raw doing that. And you could get pissed off pretty easy by stupid questions, which you're going to get, because especially in baseball, it's every damn night. So eventually you're going to say, oh, not again, do I have to answer that question? But if you had media training, you could wrap us around your finger. You could do whatever you wanted, because we just need 12-second soundbite from you for the most part.
Well, it was pretty easy back then, because the Dodgers were the one putting you on the private plane and paying for meal money and putting you up in a hotel. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was easy to get around there. But, yeah, we're going to be right back with Ted Sobel, and we'll see about that right after this message.
Lowe's knows hot deals help you get the most out of summer. Get up to 30% off select major appliances and get it delivered as soon as next day. Plus, get up to 30% off select patio furniture, grills, outdoor power equipment, and more. These end-of-season savings won't last long. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 7/30. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Valid on eligible in-stock orders in select locations. Price, delivery time, and vehicle availability may vary based on order size and location. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com/delivery for more details.
If you didn't think skipping breakfast was a big deal, you'd be right. Before. But now, Wendy's has Buck Biscuits. We're talking sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit, bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, or even the Honey Buddy Chicken Biscuit. For just a buck each. Seriously, you can get all three if you want. They're just a buck. So you'll never skip breakfast again. If you're smart. Breakfast for a buck? Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Limit 5 qualifying items per transaction. Not valid in the combo while supplies last.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Hi, it's me, Flo, here to tell you that with the Progressive Home and Auto Bundle, you get 24/7 protection, so you're covered no matter where the day takes you.
Even I added too much water to the pizza dough day?
Yep.
How about getting a call from my daughter to pick her up at the airport because her boyfriend is unreliable day?
Especially that day.
What about finding out that one of my pipes suddenly burst in my basement day?
Progressive has every day covered 24/7 with a Home and Auto Bundle. Also, you have a lot of bad days.
Oh no, that was all the same day.
At least you're covered with Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
The fans are rooting.
And we are back. We'll see about that with the legend, the MVP, the champion, Ron Say. I'm Mike Gary, and this week in Dodger history, 1974, the Dodgers beat the Padres 15-4 in San Diego. The Dodgers now at that point 5.5 games in front of the Big Red Machine. Ron Say led the way with 3 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 2 home runs, and set a new LA Dodgers RBI record by driving in 8 runs. That was a heck of a great day, Ron.
It was a great day, and you know, this we're heading into the last 2 months of the season, and we're trying to make amends for coming in second place to the Reds the year before when we entered the month of September with about a 2.5 game lead. And then their experience and their leadership got it through it. So we knew we had in front of us, but this was a big game. And I had actually had an earlier high of 7.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was great. Larry Kahn actually was there that night, and Ted knows who Larry Kahn is. They're
yes,
both Fairfax High School graduates.
I used to take him to games before he drove.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, that was a great night. But Mike has a question for you.
I was probably there, Ron, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
Ted, you have a very interesting connection in your family. Your uncle was the legendary screenwriter and producer who was sadly blacklisted.
Yep.
His name is Carl Foreman. He won an Oscar for the best written adapted screenplay of the 1958 Best Picture winner and one of the great films of all time, The Bridge of the River Kwai. Also wrote screenplays for High Noon, The Guns of Navarone, Born Free, Champion with Kirk Douglas, The Men with Marlon Brando. What are your recollections about your uncle?
Well, he was a tough dude, first of all, Mike. He was a total perfectionist. But he meant so much to my life. When I was a little kid, I used to hear about my mother's only brother living in London, and I couldn't understand why I never got to see him. I was too young to understand the blacklist at the time. So we're talking about the late 50s, and he had been living there since about 52-ish, I believe. And he ended up being there for 25 years because you couldn't get a job in Hollywood if you're a part of the blacklist, and that's a whole separate issue. If you guys want to learn more about that, I just did a recent podcast on my Touching Greatness YouTube channel, and I'm sure you would really enjoy it. It was called Blacklisted at High Noon. And So anyway, when Carl wrote High Noon, that's the time when the government got involved and they called him in to speak in front of HUAC, which was the group from Congress that they wanted to screw everybody over and basically put you in a small category and make sure they ruined your life. And that's what they did to Carl. And when I was a little kid in elementary school, people would say, hey, because Carl's name was very big then in the movies, and they would say, hey, your uncle is Carl Foreman. That's so awesome. I said, but he's a communist? And I had, how do you answer that when you're 7 years old? I didn't even know what a communist was. So that wasn't easy, and I wrote a whole chapter about him. It is not in my book. I need to get it into a future volume of Touching Greatness or a different way to do it. It's like about 100 pages on how he affected my life. I talk about each one of his movies. But Carl was one of the guys who tried to get me into this business through his contacts. I actually got an interview with the San Diego Clippers when they first moved over to try to become their play-by-play guy, but I wasn't ready yet, so I didn't get the job. Some guy named Ralph Lawler got it, and he ended up being there for the next 40 years. Yeah. So it worked out great for them. But Carl was an amazing guy, one of the most brilliant people I've ever known, and to be able to do stuff like that. And by the way, you know, if Winston Churchill says, I want that man to do my movie, and Carl was on the blacklist, and Churchill said, I don't give a damn what blacklist you have in the United States. I like what you do, and could you do my movie? And Carl said, absolutely. So that's pretty high praise right there.
Well, those are great movies, too, though. I remember Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Yeah, classic.
High Noon, yeah. Those
Guns of Navarone was my favorite.
Yeah, that, too. That was great. Yeah, remember that well. Yeah. As much as he was an inspiration, you've had others that have come before you. And you mentioned Chick Hearn, Tex Winter, Bill Sharman, and Paul Olden. Can you talk a little bit about each one of those guys?
Absolutely. Well, Paul was important because I met him at LA City College the first day that we were in the broadcasting class, and we just hit it off immediately. And Paul was an inspiration because he, another perfectionist, he would sit and practice play-by-play for every game he could watch on television at home in his bedroom, and he'd have his tape recorder there. Now, that's not easy to do, but, you know, you can't go to every game, so you do whatever you can do if you really want it. Just like you always say, Ron, if you want something badly enough, you got to go for it. And yeah. And Paul was great about that. And he basically drove that into my little brain that's the way to do it. You got to have the passion for it. If you want it badly enough, you got to do it over and over. And we did it for over 6 years. We went to hundreds and hundreds of different sporting events around town that I mentioned earlier. So he was huge in that department and making sure that my discipline was where it needed to be. The other ones, you know, Tex Winter was somebody, people don't remember Tex. He worked as an assistant for Phil Jackson with the Chicago Bulls and the Lakers. I knew him from Long Beach State because I announced Long Beach State basketball back in the early 80s. And he used to just have me sit next to him at the front of the bus when we were on a road trip and just do diagrams for me and show me stuff. And he was just, you know, in those days, you didn't have 19 coaches on the bench with you. So it was a lot easier to have access to him. So he was fantastic, really, really nice guy and just went out of his way to be extra nice. Bill Sharman was a wonderful person. Even though he was a Boston Celtic and Elgin and I used to talk about him, we hated him and we loved him at the same time. Because if he wore Celtic green back in the 60s, there's no reason to like anything about you. But Sharman ended up being the coach of the first Lakers championship team and absolutely the nicest guy you ever want to meet. We had the most incredible chats and those kind of guys. But, you know, you throw Chick Hearn in there. Chick would take me in the back office of the Forum and show me how to make a chart to call a basketball game and stuff like that. And just give me little tips in here and there. Same with the Bob Miller, the Kings announcer. Yeah. All those guys were important. And of course, I lived off of whatever Vin Scully did. And one time I joked with Vin, my station KFWB won an award and we were at the Southern California Sportscasters Luncheon. And I got up, accepted the award for the station. And Vin was sitting in the first table right in front of us. And I said, Vinny, I never told you this before, but I used to go to bed with you every night with that plug in my ear from the transit to radio, and my mother was pissed because when she found out that I wasn't going to sleep and I was listening to you and Jerry Doggett do the post-game show until you said goodnight, that's the way I lived back in the 60s, and that's the truth.
Yeah, well, I had a front row seat for those games. I mean, the transistor radio was going wild within Dodger Stadium every single night, and so I understand that. I used to go to bed with my transistor radio when I was a kid, too, and so I know a little bit about that. And Bill Sharman, you know, he's got more NBA championship rings, I think, than anybody does. And he also is the very first autograph I ever got on a brown bag, lunch bag. I don't know where that went, but it was a long, long time ago.
Yeah, unfortunately, my father got Babe Ruth's autograph after a game. My dad worked at Yankee Stadium, by the way, when Babe Ruth and Gehrig played.
He sold
peanuts and popcorn when he was 13 years old in 1931.
Yeah, so you know, we're back on the sidelines of baseball.
Yes.
How do you like what's going on in today's game? I mean, we've got metrics that run the game. We now have introduced gambling, also. Yes. And all the rest of the manipulations that go on with the rule changes. We have a universal DH now. What do you think about what's going on in today's game?
I don't like it. To me, it's hard to watch. You know, I right now I'll pick an inning or two and I'll watch a little bit. But in the old days, I'd watch a whole game. I don't care how long it was because I was into it. Now there's very little strategy. It's just swing as hard as you can. And if you strike out, whatever. And if you hit a home run, great. And that's all that matters. They don't care about batting averages. You know, the analytics of the game are real to a point. But then you have to have an eye. And that's not just baseball. That's every game. You have to have an eye for the game. You have to know what is right and what is wrong. And you have to have instinct. You have to know what what you prefer, like if it's in baseball, you know, a specific, if you're watching a guy swing, if he's swinging out of his ass and he's fouling, but he hits one out every 17 days, who cares? But he might get $14 million a year for that. I don't get that for me. I want hit and run. I want bunts. I know the kid's now saying, Ted, you're boring as hell and you're old and whatever. But that's what I want. I want strategy. I mean, to me, a manager can almost fall asleep back there and have the pitching coach bring in the reliever after the other guy threw 30 pitches. So I don't like what I see. I don't know how a kid could become passionate about this game unless you're 6'5 and 300 pounds and you're swinging for the fences every minute.
Well, there's no question that it's changed. We could talk years about all the things that have gone on. And you know, it's more like the game has changed, I think, in the line of it's just all about entertainment. I really do. You know,
well, it's for TV now. That's all it is.
Yeah, they're going to cater to whatever the fans want. And that's, you know, a higher scoring game. Yep. So therefore, you know, let's hit three run home runs every couple innings, and we'll keep them in the ballpark. And you know, it's that way in the All-Star games too. You know, you look at where football has gone. Now you're playing a flag football game. Not really particularly in liking that.
Swing offs in All-Star games.
Yeah, swing off in the All-Star game. You know, it started with the home run derby, and now it's the All-Star game is going to end with a home run derby. So it's home run derby. And when you look at basketball, you know, where it went a couple of years ago when they were playing games, it's 205 to 199, and nobody plays defense, and they're shooting half-court shots every other time down the floor.
Yes, and hockey is like 30 to 25.
Yeah, and then
it's ridiculous.
And then they switched it over because that wasn't working well to now it's the quickest to 40 points.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. You're losing me here. And you know, we speak about baseball again for the second. You know, ESPN, it looks like they're seeing kind of the same thing that we are because they're dropping out after this.
Well, again, if I'm a young fan, I don't know how I become passionate about it because there's not a lot to be passionate about. How do you get involved with guys that are, you know, your starting pitcher is going four or five innings. It's like big deal. So he's almost like he's just a starting reliever to me because it's nothing special anymore. Yeah. I mean, I want to see 7-8 innings. I want to see how deep in the game he can go and if he's still got something left. I used to joke your first manager with the Dodgers, Alston sitting in the dugout and he's falling asleep in the 8th inning. I want to see if he's going to wake up in time to pull the pitcher out of the bullpen.
Well, there's no question that it's changed, and we're going to see how just much more it does change in the near future. But, Ted, I want to thank you so much for being a part of our show today. Absolutely. Good luck to you, and thanks again for being with us. It's been a great
interview.
Appreciate
it, Ron and Mike. Thank you.
There we have it. We're going to be right back. We'll see about that right after this message. This is baseball's Ron Say. Nowadays, it seems like nothing is built to last. Phones, appliances, cars, computers. But the new Michelin Defender 2 tire is designed to outlast. With a quiet and comfortable ride, you will have the confidence you need on the roads, whether they're wet or dry. So goodbye to the short-lived and hello to something that lasts. Get your set of Michelin Defender 2 tires at Hank's Tires, 19951 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills. Call my buddy Steve Goldberg at 818-340-4200. That's 818-340-4200. Hank's Tires is also built to last. Hank opened Hank's Tires in 1953, and we are the oldest tire and auto repair shop in the San Fernando Valley with 100% customer satisfaction. Hank's is AAA approved for all of your auto repair needs. Call Hank's Tires at 818-340-4200 and tell them Ron Say sent you.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Okay, we're back. We'll see about that. And we're going to wrap things up here. And I want to remind you that you can visit me over at the Ron Say Show. That's my website. You can get a copy of the book there and also a list of all of our podcast guests. And you can access that from the site. Please visit me at Instagram. And you can also catch up with me on Facebook, which he just started, so I've been posting a little bit over there, but still have a long ways to go before I know what I'm doing with that.
Your posts have been fantastic, though, let me just say.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
And also, you can catch up with me on Cameo for special requests.
So. And for our guest as well, once again, thank you so much to Ted Sobel. You can check out his fantastic book, Touching Greatness, as well, and also the podcast of the same name. Ron, Shohei Ohtani had a career first, but not in a good way. He struck out at his first four plate appearances for the first time in his career. Have you ever struck out four times in a row in a game?
I did once.
Oh, how'd that feel?
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Very embarrassing, as a matter of fact. You know, you just want to bury your head and hope that this day goes by as fast as possible. I think I went to bed that night, honestly, with nightmares. I do. I remember that. It was such a horrible experience that it stayed with me for a while.
It does, really.
Well, I mean, the good part about baseball is that, you know, you have to have a quick recovery period. You know, you don't have to wait like a football a player does.
Yeah,
good or bad, and you know, when it's great, you know, I was terrific for 7 days in a row. But when it's not, you don't want to even see that. Take a look at it, understand it, get after it, make the corrections. But baseball, you're back out of bed the next day, and you know that you have a chance of redemption next night.
So not to, you know, continue to open up old wounds. I mean, what were they getting you on that day? Was it the off-speed stuff, the fastball? They blown it by you?
No, actually, it was in Boston. It was my first trip to Fenway Park. Yeah. I was with the Oakland A's. It was my last year. I hadn't played in a week. We had rain delays. We did not take any pre-batting practice. I did not get a chance to hit on the field. The green monster looked like it's closer than that green thing right behind you. And Bruce Hurst was pitching very well, and I was not swinging the bat very well. And it turned out to be a nightmare. And I will always remember that, you know, unfortunately.
Sorry, Ron.
Yeah, thanks for that. All right. Well, hey, listen, I just want to thank Ted Sobel again for a great interview. You know, he was so fortunate. I mean, I can't imagine that he did so many incredible events. And
we didn't even talk about the Olympics either.
And we didn't talk about the horse racing either, you know? So anyway, great career for Ted Sobel, and he's still knocking them out. So anyway, thanks so much, and we will all be back with you next week.